This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Dunavant is a family-owned business that has the knowledge to ensure global and domestic shipping practices are efficient and effective. Dunavant generates supply chain proficiency with outstanding, attentive, and expedient customer service. For more information, visit dunavant.com.
Hello and welcome to The Stockout. The Stockout is one of 20 shows at FreightWaves, and this is the one where we set aside 26 minutes to talk about what's important to CPG companies and those transportation companies and intermediaries that serve the CPG industry. And I don't have a guest today, but I think there is still plenty to talk about. We had our big Future of Supply Chains conference last week in Northwest Arkansas, which was a great time, very informative. Glad to meet with so many sonar users and prospective sonar users. And we had some great CPG content at that conference. So I'm going to give some highlights on this show of what I learned from those CPG companies discussions. We had Nestle, we had Unilever, and we had Tyson. We were right in Tyson's backyard, in addition to being in J.B. Hunt's backyard and Walmart's backyard. So I'll talk about those things, and I'll give a little update. If you probably might be sick of hearing about the baby formula shortage, but I can set aside the political stuff and just sort of talk about sort of where we go from here. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the new data series we have on the truckload side, and just give a couple of sonar highlights. So I think I can do that pretty concisely here in 26 minutes. And if CPG news and content as it relates to supply chains and input costs, all those things is of interest to you, I invite you to sign up for my newsletter, which is sometimes goes into analytics and opinions. All you have to do is go to www.freightwaves.com. And there's an opportunity at the top to mouse over newsletters. And then right at the top under supply chains is CPG, or if you prefer, www.freightwaves.com/the-stockout. So I encourage you to sign up for that. And if there's ever anything that I write that doesn't seem right to you, based on what's coming across your desks, out there in the field, please send me an email and let me know what you're seeing. That type of feedback is always valuable. It's sometimes hard to know exactly what's happening in your shoes sitting in front of a PC. So topic number one here, I'll give a little bit of an overview of what took place last week as far as CPG companies specifically was concerned, where CPG companies that we had last week at the Future Supply Chain, we had Nestle, Tyson and Unilever. And really, one of the main takeaways for me was just how difficult it is to forecast freight rates and freight demand. We heard that from a number of different companies, including Nestle, including Convoy, the big transportation company. And they shared with us in a kind of an informal breakout session sort of where their forecast had been and where the market ended up. And I think it was pretty typical. What tends to happen is when the market's at a certain level, the idea, typically is there's a forecast, that the current market conditions reflects all the news that is known at that period of time. And so forecasts tend to be too modest, either in one direction or the other. So, the Convoy's forecast, in addition to a lot of other companies' forecasts, they don't really take fully into account any changes in market conditions. And we heard that from a number of different companies, at the conference, including some very sophisticated companies that spend a lot on data, a lot on capital, on their IT systems to get smart on the market. And so what some companies are doing instead is trying to get the most up-to-date data as possible and respond to market conditions. And one of the examples that Nestle gave is they said that really the first mile of transportation is critical in terms of not having stockouts. And so from the factory, if you know, where your inventories are getting maybe a little bit low sort of throughout the country, look at that data up into a real-time basis. Maybe at the last minute, you can divert a truckload from maybe going east to going west instead. And, that can prevent stockouts, on shelves. And so basically the idea is to make supply chain decisions at a point in time that's a little bit closer to consumption if you can have data that's more real-time in nature. So I thought that was very interesting. There was also a lot from various CPG companies and others about automation. Automation rather than using a labor-intensive process, using more machines. And, a few reasons for that, not only the obvious, which, machines don't take, holidays, don't come in sick. You don't have, the inflation the way you had with wages and, all the labor availability issues. Those are sort of the obvious things. But aside from that, a lot of companies are, in addition to using machines as sort of a way to lower costs, and maybe for providing some more stability, they're using the machines as a way to learn and basically using the machines as a way to capture data on their production processes and various things in the supply chain. They realize, look at the machine data, if it's slowing down, sort of why is it slowing down? Is it because certain inputs are not available? Is it because the demand is slowing up a little bit? And so really sort of leveraging the machine and automation to learn something about the supply chain. And really, we've seen this a lot with companies that are automating their warehouses. A lot of companies are, having warehouse locations that are much closer to where the consumers actually are. And basically the vertical, warehousing, if you will, companies like Blue Yonder, companies that are doing automatic picking. It's really an area that's hot in transportation and logistics. And the idea is Amazon has changed everyone's expectation of when a product should be delivered, where it should basically be an extension of your thoughts and it should be in your house in a matter of hours, maybe later that day. And in order to do that, you need warehouses that are close to where people actually live in urban centers. And the only way to do that cost effectively is maybe to have a vertical warehouse. And then, on top of that, use that data to really understand, demand trends and positioning of inventory. So a lot, at the conference on automation, there was also a session with Unilever, who is, of course, a big shipper that uses a lot of truckload, also a lot of intermodal, also a lot of refrigerated and frozen. They have a sizable franchise in ice cream. But they talked a lot about their product portfolio and some of the rationale for recent acquisitions. They've done a laundry list of acquisitions over the last several years. A lot of these were smaller CPG companies that were startups that had a certain amount of cachet to them. Some that I was kind of familiar with was Dollar Shave Club and Liquid IV. So, those companies, did something pretty, innovative to sort of disrupt the industry and acquired by Unilever. And I guess the way that I had been thinking about those acquisitions is, had been sort of before the conference is really kind of a way for the big behemoth to get into avenues for growth and to sort of hedge against the fact that some of those smaller companies could be pretty disruptive. But, it really, it goes beyond that when you listen to some of the sessions at the Future of Supply Chain, where a lot of the small sort of startup companies, they're fine with their transportation logistics supply chain as long as their consumer base is, at a certain level where, they're basically taking orders, putting them in an Excel spreadsheet, mailing out the items. When it gets to be more complicated than that and to really expand, nationwide in a strong manner, it's helpful to have strong parent company that has better procurement and better systems in place to manage all of the logistical complexities of a fast growing business like that. Of course, the challenge is to still have what made those companies attractive to consumers in the first place. A lot of times you're doing something different. They had sort of a look and feel flavor to them that was contemporary. So I think a lot of companies like Unilever have let the founders really maintain a lot of autonomy over their products. So I thought that was that was interesting. And I would encourage you to check out the recorded versions of the future of supply chain meetings. There, a lot of those were fireside chat formats with one of our journalists interviewing a particular executive. And those are going to be up later this week. I don't think they're up so far. A lot of times there's a synopsis of what took place, but you'll be able to see the full recording, believe later this week after those are edited.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
I'll move on to the second topic here, and hopefully not everyone's completely sick of talking about this, but the baby formula shortage likely to persist for several months. And the reason I say this is there's an empty shelf of Similac, maybe says something about consumers also that instead of having it on the shelves, you take a ticket, given all the theft that's taken place. This was a picture taken from Linwood, Washington. So basically, Abbott Nutrition says they're ready to restart the facility. They maintain that the bacteria infections were not caused by their product. And based on what the CDC has said and what the FDA has said, I think they're right. I think, I don't think we're ever going to know exactly, how those infants, got that bacteria infection, but the fact that it wasn't contained, found in any sealed products, the fact that the bacteria strain that the infants suffered with was not found at the facilities, I think speaks to the fact that probably that facility needs to be reopened, and maybe the government was a little bit too harsh in keeping it closed. It's been down for about 3 months, and just in the past couple of weeks, you've really seen an intensification of how difficult it's been to get baby formula, where now nationwide 43% of stores don't have it in stock. Was just a couple of weeks ago, that was about 30%. So it really took, 3 months to, go through, fully the inventory. It was a little short before the Abbott plant shut down, but was sort of still kind of within fairly close to normalized range. It does seem like, to me at least, that the facility needs to be reopened. I guess there was that same type of bacteria was in the facility before it had been shut down, and maybe that it shouldn't have been it at all. But it does seem like the investigations warrant reopening the facility. And I guess my understanding is the FDA is allowing some of those products to be sold from that facility so long as they are the certain specialty type of products. So, there's certain types of infant formula that are really critical for infants that have certain digestive problems, certain issues. And a lot of those were really only made in that Sturgis, Michigan facility. We do have an article up that Eric Kulish wrote about how Abbott and others are air freighting in infant formula from countries like Ireland, the Netherlands, and certain places in Central and South America. Some of those have to be relabeled, with English labels. Those coming in from that were in Spanish initially, but still, if ever there was a good reason to use air freight, I think that is the time. And it looks like editorial is working on other reports on the baby formula shortage. So stay tuned to Freight Waves for that. Check out the website every day. Always lots of good content. I think we publish about 40 or 50 articles a day. So we'll move on. Topic number three is wholesale CPG prices up 35% since 2019. That is quite a number, and that comes from the Consumer Brands Association, which is the big consumer, a big association, industry association that covers the CPG industry. You know, I've had them on the Stockout before, and it just sort of, I think, goes to show that, as bad as inflation has been for the consumer, it's actually been higher for the wholesaler and the company buying it at wholesale. So for the CPG company, in April, the producer price index has wholesale inflation up 11%. So, even worse than what the consumers are seeing. And as a result, as most people, I think, know, CPG companies have had a lot of margin pressure, in the last, let's say, year. So they've shared some of that pain with consumers, which suggests to me that consumers are likely to see prices march ever higher going forward. And another sort of interesting stat that Consumer Brands Association brings up is 70% of CPG costs are related to energy and ingredients. So you tend to think about, ingredients themselves being about half of their cost of product sold. And then the other 20% could be things like, packaging, transportation costs, any fertilizer that maybe goes into the ingredients. And sort of, one of the big inflationary components has been diesel, of course. I've got a sonar chart on diesel, and those have not come down any. It seems to just hit a new high, even if it's maybe flattened out a little bit. But diesel prices are up about 80% year over year. Our journalist John Kingston has written a lot on the site about how inventories are getting low in the Northeast, which is a big concern. And this is particularly problematic for the smaller trucking companies, which it's really bad if they run out of route. And smaller trucking companies that run irregular routes, if they're out of route, they're not going to be compensated for fuel in those out of route miles. It's also really bad for smaller companies or any carriers that take brokered loads. Truck brokers are notorious for basically charging shippers a certain amount based fully on a fuel surcharge, not passing that fuel surcharge on to carriers. So the carriers can really get squeezed. And is this part of the thesis that has been articulated on FreightWaves.com about the bloodbath that's coming in trucking? It's really going to be most acutely felt by the small trucking company. The large carriers can mitigate the rising fuel prices to a large extent with fuel surcharges. So the large carriers are buying at rack minus a few cents, because they're buying at scale, and they often negotiate the fuel surcharges based on a miles per gallon that's actually not as good as what they're getting in the field. So their miles per gallon and their fuel surcharge calculation might be based on six and a half miles per gallon, and really they're getting seven and a half. So there's actually could actually make money on the fuel surcharge. You need to be a sophisticated carrier to do that. You probably need to have all of the newer equipment that's more fuel efficient and have aerodynamic features, all of those things. But some of the large carriers do make money on fuel. And so I really think we're going to have sort of a haves and have-nots situation in the trucking industry. Some of the other areas that were called out by the Consumer Brands Association as being particularly inflationary, believe it or not, diesel is not the most inflationary item. Eggs are up 161% year over year. So it's basically a large, the bird flu situation really having a big impact. I guess about 6% of the chicken population had to be culled because of that. And even before that, Tyson was having trouble with its hatch rates. So anything that uses eggs as an ingredient is problematic for CPG companies. Wheat up 85%. I think we know that has a lot to do with Ukraine. Aluminum up 41%. Oil, those are like vegetable oils, up 41%. I've talked a lot about that and how certain countries have gotten to be more protective of their own crops, what they're making domestically, like Indonesia with their palm oil limiting exports that drives up palm oil prices all over the world, which palm oil gets used in a large range of CPG. And then they also call out corn up 32%. So basically all of these CPG ingredients, really rising a lot, and don't see much evidence of that cooling off. I think we all hope that the Fed raising interest rates has the intended effect of cooling inflation without tipping the economy into recession, but does seem pretty precarious when you think about that and see the stock market decline for what is it, 6 or 7 weeks in a row. Next topic here, topic number four, is freight data is finally showing some signs of stabilization, and I have a chart on that showing the van outbound tender rejection index. And a few caveats here. When I say that freight data is stabilizing, those tender rejection rates have come way down from a high level. They were over 20% at the start of the year. Now they're at 8.3. That's sort of within the range of what's normal. And tender volumes have sort of flattened out as well. But one of the big caveats is this is a strong time of the year where here we are 2 weeks before we enjoy a Memorial Day, and that's when a lot of beverages get moved into place. A lot of packaged food gets moved into place. People preparing for their barbecues. Getting in the warmer months, a lot of trucking capacity is taken up by very large items, things like barbecue grills. Things that you need for your pool. A lot of construction materials move this time of year. Now that it's warmer, and we can move do more construction for the next several months. So all of those things, I think, tends to lead to a tighter truck market. So that may be masking some of the weakening, truck conditions. So it's something to watch very closely. May and June tend to be very strong months, almost the more of the peak season, really, with trucking, even more so sometimes than the fall peak season. So something to watch very closely is whether that stability continues or whether that's just we're getting some help from seasonality. Topic number five here of spot rates have fallen well below a contract rate. So this is important for CPG companies. I have a chart on this that shows the National Truckload Index. So National Truckload Index is one that we just rolled out in the last week at our conference, and so this is piggybacking on the Track data. For those of you who are Sonar users and look at our Sonar market dashboard, we're getting that data from a consortium of brokers, large brokers that are basically sharing with us what they are paying for truckload capacity on a particular lane on a particular day. We're rolling that up into a nationwide average, and you see that the National Truckload Index has really fallen a lot, from about $3 to about $2. The contract rates are in purple there, and those have held up. They have flattened out since March, and most of the CPG companies that might be listening to this, they're paying rates based on that purple line. They do need a lot of capacity, and now it's kind of the question is, when do those contract rates start to fall? And typically, consumer goods companies, big shippers want to, have a little bit more confidence that those, lower rates are sort of here to stay. And, they may rebid their freight. They may move their contract cycle to, something that's, shorter. What we've heard is that some companies want to get through the produce season, and, which is almost a kind of a mini peak, season for a lot of shippers, moving certain, agriculture products in certain lanes, and then they're going to be, more aggressive. So, right now, economics very different for the large, truckload carriers versus the small truckload carriers. You do wonder how long, that's going to persist. I think CPG companies are still paying higher freight rates than they were a year ago, but that could change. And I think, a few months on, I show that chart. I think it's going to show something very different. Topic number six, and I'll try to go through this quickly, just have a couple minutes left, is Class 1 railroads, I think, are looking to position containers quickly. And I have a Sonar chart to that effect, where on the left shows intermodal spot rates. Now, not a lot of intermodal moves on the spot market, but I think there's information in this data. And the one that really stands out here, this is just a one-week change, is Dallas to Los Angeles, the rate moved 105%. Now, that's a very deeply backhaul lane, but you see it went from about $1.10 on that right chart to $2.19. And the truckload rate approximately is that orange line that we get from truckstop.com. So now intermodal rate in that lane went from being way below the truckload rate to being above the truckload rate. So what that says to me is that the Class I rails want to reposition that equipment quickly, back to the West Coast. They do not want to wait for those domestic containers to be reloaded. If I'm a CPG shipper and I move goods from the West Coast to the center of the country or to the East Coast, I want to be more concerned with service levels. There might not be as many containers available. I want to have contingency plans in place, maybe across modes, maybe across carriers. And it's just kind of a heads up that if you're moving intermodal outbound from Los Angeles, if the rails are concerned about getting those containers back quickly, you have to be concerned that you're going to be able to secure those containers. So I think there's a lot of information in Sonar like that, especially when you sort of read between the lines, maybe consult a subject matter expert that you have access to at FreightWaves. I'm happy to help on the intermodal side. Others know the other segments better. So that's really what I want to go over today. Again, would like to encourage you to sign up for the Stockout newsletter at www.freightwaves.com/thestockout. You can feel free to reach out to me at mbowdendistel@freightwaves.com and encourage you to sign up for the many good newsletters we have. Just have a related one that just launched on Cold Chain that's being authored by Sydney Edwards. And I think there's a lot of overlap between those who are interested in CPG and those who are interested in supply chain. So I'd encourage you to check that out as well. So with that, that's really the time we have for today, and hope everyone has a great Monday.